Well, again, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And in this new year, I'm in a message series that I'm calling Old School Lessons for the New Year, as we're going back to the Old Testament and doing a character study through some characters who, some of whom are fairly obscure. For example, last week, Leah, some of whom may be better known. And today, it's a character who's a real enigma. This is a man, his name is Samson, and yes, he is listed one time in the New Testament in Faith's Hall of Fame, and yet he was also, he could be a very shallow playboy. That's Samson. Okay, let me start with a question, put it up here on the screen for you, and that is, what's the most formidable challenge you face every day? Joseph Stowell, who for years was president of Moody Institute, was once asked that question, and people thought he would respond by talking about managing faculty or raising money or his administrative responsibilities, and he said, oh, absolutely not. The most formidable challenge I face every day is managing myself, leading myself. You ever met somebody and you would say, she's just her own worst enemy. He is his own worst. He brings so much unnecessary frustration on himself, on herself. That's Samson, a guy who at times was ruled by his anger, his hormones, his emotions. Now, he's primarily known, for most of us who know a little something about Samson, he's primarily known for his hair. He had really long hair. And he is also known for his strength. He is the strongest guy in the Bible. And a lot of folks think, well, he's strong because of his long hair. And there is a connection. His long hair was the sign of his strength, but it wasn't the source of his strength. The source of his strength was God. But Samson is also known for his fling with Delilah. And we're going to take a look today at his story. It's found in four chapters in the Old Testament book of Judges. You know much about the book of Judges. It's the seventh book of the Old Testament. You know, a judge wasn't, and when we think of a judge, we think of somebody sitting behind the bench and dealing with attorneys. And judges in the time of Israel, they weren't kings, but they were deliverers. And Samson was a judge, a deliverer for Israel, and he served for 20 years. Now, let me just very quickly tell you sort of what happened as you read the book of Judges. God's people are going to start doing things they shouldn't do. They really get into some serious sin. And then God will discipline them by sending usually opposing nations to discipline and punish the people. Then the people would cry out, oh God, we're so sorry, help us, deliver us, redeem us. And then God would send a judge, a deliverer, and Samson was one of those judges, not a king, but a judge, like Gideon, like Deborah, and some others, characters that you're familiar with from the Old Testament. Well, Samson was young, he was strong, he was good-looking, he was cocky, he was courageous, he was an incorrigible ladies' man. And if Samson were alive today, he would be a superstar athlete or an action movie hero. Greg Johnson found a photo of Samson. Here it is. I mean, when you think of, I mean, strong, long hair, action hero, a superstar athlete, that's the guy. In one sense, he's the strongest man in the Bible. In another sense, he's one of the weakest. Yes, a man of faith, but also a shallow-minded, superficial playboy at times who squandered many of his God-given talents. And Samson teaches us that even strong men have weaknesses. And even women who are strong and who are mightily blessed need to be aware of your weaknesses. Samson was the guy who just didn't become all he could because of the vices and the intentional compromises in his life. When you think of athletes in our day who have self-destructed, Samson is that guy in his day. A gifted leader, powerfully used by God, but a lack of judgment cost him. Now, we find him first mentioned in Judges chapter 13. The Bible says, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in Samson. God has a purpose for Samson, that he will be a great leader for his people. Okay, but he ends up being mocked by the very people he should have conquered in God's name. So how did this story unfold? How did this incredible lack of judgment, this lapse in judgment, occur? Now, I want to walk through the scene from Judges chapter 16, and this is important because I don't want you to experience unnecessary frustration that you would bring upon yourself. How did his lapse in judgment occur? First of all, here's how it can occur in your life and mine. You go somewhere you shouldn't have gone. Here's Samson's story, Judges 16, starting verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek. Ever been there? It's that place you shouldn't go. It's in Philistine territory. And Samson didn't go there on a mission trip. He falls in love with a lady by the name of Delilah in the valley of Sorek. Well, the rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we might tie him up and subdue him." The Philistines were ungodly people, just incredibly ungodly, the enemies of God's people. Samson should have been delivering God's people from the Philistines, and he was their enemy, but he also made compromises. He's made compromises with this lady by the name of Delilah. Well, the leaders of the Philistines come to Delilah and say, "Show us his secret to his power. And if you'll do so, we'll give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson went somewhere he shouldn't have gone. And when you go to the wrong kinds of places, for the wrong kinds of reasons, you will meet the wrong kind of people. And when you are influenced by the wrong kind of people, you will miss God's best for your life every time. You ever done that? Gone to the wrong kind of place, for the wrong kind of reasons? You got hooked up with the wrong kind of people, and you suffered the consequences in your life? And younger folks, kiddos, if you have parents who want to know who you're with and where you are, you praise God and you thank God you have parents like that. How did this lapse in judgment occur? He went somewhere he shouldn't have gone. He knew better. And he kept going back. Secondly, you ignore warning signs that should alarm and alert you. Then Delilah says to Samson, "Well, let me tell you, let me sort of set this story up. Delilah wants Samson to tell her, you know, the secret to his strength. And so three times she's going to ask him, and three times he's going to give her a bogus answer. She says, "Oh, Samson, you're so strong. Tell me how you can be so strong." And Samson says, "Well..." And then she says, "Samson, tell me, how can you be subdued?" And he makes up a little answer. He says, "Well, if I am tied up, if I'm restrained by 7 new bowstrings, I'll be as weak as anybody else." So she does it. She ties him up. She has some Philistine warriors hiding out in her house. She says, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And Samson just breaks those 7 new bowstrings like they're nothing. She says, "Oh, come on, now you're yanking my chain. Come on, tell me how you can be subdued." He said, "Well, if you were to tie me up with 7 new ropes, I'd be as weak as anybody else." She does that. "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he breaks those 7 new ropes like it's nothing. She says, "Come on, Samson, level with me." Now, as I'm reading this story and watching Samson time after time after time, he just keeps going back into trouble, episode after trouble, another episode. I want to go, hey, dude, dump the lady. This is nuts. Have you ever ignored one warning sign after another? And one more time, Delilah says, tell me the secret of your strength. And he said, oh, if you were to take the 7 braids of my hair and weave it into the fabric with your loom, I'd be as weak as anybody else. And, of course, that doesn't work. And then Delilah says, verse 15, how can you say you love me? How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. And with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. But Samson keeps ignoring the warning signs. He's hard-headed. And the fact is, many strong men are often bound and determined to keep doing things their own hard-headed way, even at the risk of disaster. Have you been ignoring some warning signs in your life? God's been trying to get your attention. He's been trying to arrest and intercept that kind of spiritual drift. How did this lapse in judgment occur? It went somewhere it shouldn't have gone. Did so repeatedly. He ignored warning signs. And thirdly, he trivialized what he should have been treasuring. So finally, he breaks down and he tells the secret to his God-given strength. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I've been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. In other words, he had taken a particular vow. His parents had taken a particular vow. His hair wouldn't be cut. He would follow some other particular guidelines, and he was set apart in a special way for God's purposes. And he's telling her the truth. He should have treasured this identity, but he's trivializing it. He is telling an enemy the secret of his God-given strength. And if my head were to be shaved, my strength would leave me, and I'd become as weak as any other man. Samson had been set apart. You are set apart too. You have been called a saint. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are in the kingdom of light. You have bold access to the throne of God. You have received mercy. Please don't take these wonderful privileges and treat them lightly. Don't trivialize your faith. Don't trivialize the church. Don't trivialize the gifts that have come to you. These should be treasured. Not treated flippantly. Don't trivialize this season of your life to let your light shine and to be an influence for Christ to others. He went where he shouldn't have gone. He ignored warning signs. He trivialized what he should have treasured. And last of all, he lost something he couldn't afford to lose. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible is Judges 16, verse 20. While he's sleeping, Delilah cuts his hair. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. He started strong, but he gave away his calling. Now, in the New Testament, you're going to read about Samson, and you're going to read about his faith. It'll say in Hebrews chapter 11, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and he's in pretty good company here, and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. You remember in 2007, Barry Bonds broke the home run record? The old record was held by Hank Aaron at 755. And when Barry Bonds hit 756, some people applauded, some people booed. When he trotted back out to his outfield position, there were a few folks who held up an asterisk. The greatest home run hitter ever, but, folks will say, but, reputation's been tainted with, you know, steroid usage. You know, did he, didn't he? Well, I want to answer the questions. Greatest home run hitter ever, but, and Samson, listed in Hebrews 11, a man of faith, strongest man in the Bible, incredibly gifted, accomplished much. But, a lot of unnecessary heartache and a shortchanging of what he could have been. But praise be to God, and this can be you. If you've pulled a Samson, if you've had an incredible lapse in judgment, and you've lost some things that really you couldn't afford to lose, and now your relationship with God is distant, and you feel like your eyes have been gouged out, and you feel like you're grinding away, and there's no peace in your heart, Samson regained his strength by returning to God. And here's what happened. Judges 16, verse 23, "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them." But you're about to see, in his last act of greatness, Samson calls out to God, and the power of God comes back to him, and you can praise God this morning that God will even use your failures to make you all the more determined to be victorious in the future. Verse 28, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'O sovereign Lord, remember. Oh God, please strengthen me just this once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' And then Samson reached forward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. And thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived." All of us have regrets. All of us can start a new day. And right now, every day for some of you is a day filled with some unnecessary shame and guilt. You're living a secret life of duplicity and intentional compromise. Do you really want to go on living that way? Do you really want to keep trivializing what should be treasured? Doesn't the ideal of a guilt-free, shame-free, deception-free life sound good? And isn't it time for you to live without feeling duplicitous? Isn't it time for you to begin to wave the white flag of surrender to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? David says, and writes these words from Psalm 32. He said, "When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide them. And I said to myself, 'I will confess my rebellion to the Lord,' and here's the wonderful news, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." And those words can be your words this morning. No more pretending, no more hiding, no more duplicity, no more fear. Some of you, like Samson, have great gifts. Some of you are very strong. But even strong people have to bring their weaknesses under the protective leadership of the Holy Spirit so that God might use you in such a full and meaningful way. Now, in just a moment, I want to pray over you as we sort of take what we've learned today from Samson and pray over this into our own hearts. But before I do that, I want you to take out your order of worship and particularly that communication card. Would you do that, please? We're going to take those up here in just a moment. And on that card, if you have a particular prayer request, would you please just write down your prayer request on the space that's provided? And also, if you're ready to take a next step where you would like to have a conversation with one of the leaders of our church here about your walk with God, about returning to the Lord or starting afresh, just indicate such and we'll be in touch with you. If you're ready to talk with someone about becoming a member of this church or being baptized into Christ. Earlier, Josh was talking about this small group initiative. It's going to last for 5 weeks. And if you would like to participate in that, you can indicate so on that communication card. Okay, we're going to receive those in just a moment. Right now, why don't you bow? Let me pray over you as you're filling out that card, and then we'll close our time with another song. Let's pray, please. Lord God, I lift my prayers up to you still as we're in the shadow of an old year and here at the dawn of a new one. And for many of us, life is really different now than it was this time a year ago. For some in good ways, for others maybe not so good ways, but for all of us, we're just not the same people we were this time a year ago. We've had a year to either grow closer to you or a year of stiff-arming you. Where we have failed, help us to put our failure behind us in your grace. Where we have done well, help us to be glad and to press on, knowing that there are new opportunities before us and new hopes to be realized. And as we stand still at the dawn of this new year, I ask that you give us a fresh start. Some in this room need a fresh, they need to return to you and regain their strength. We accept responsibility. We're not making any excuses. Forgive us if we've not been listening to you. Forgive us for thinking we know better and for ignoring warning signs you bring our way. Help us to learn from our experiences. And today, God, in this simple prayer, we open up our lives to you and we ask that you cleanse us and guide us and renew us from the inside out. Come in the power of the Holy Spirit to be in charge. We do not know what lies ahead. We do know that you are there. And for that we are grateful. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.